And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your ears.
Previously in Deathstalker Honor.
We have to go right now. We're needed on an urgent mission.
You're no fun anymore, Random.
I've had enough of this storm and dust to last a lifetime.
Welcome to Loki!
Word is coming in that Robert Campbell has given up his captaincy, resigned from the fleet, and come home to Golgotha to re-establish his clan.
Robert can be as stubborn as a deaf mule when he wants to be. It's a Campbell trait.
I think we're ready to risk a few carefully controlled appearances.
I thought Constance Wolfe.
Are you crazy? The wolves destroyed my family, murdered my uncles, almost killed you.
That was then, this is now.
Have I found a friend in you?
I think perhaps you have, Constance Wolfe. How are preparations going for your wedding to the Deathstalker?
It's due to take place 6 months from now.
You don't love him, do you?
No, I don't love him.
Good.
The rebels might have been justified in the beginning, but they lost all claim to the moral high ground when they called in Shub, the enemies of humanity.
They're held in stasis, just waiting to be awakened and unleashed on humanity. The perfect shock troops.
How do you propose to deal with the Grendels after you've won?
They'll shut themselves down once they've run out of things to kill.
Delal and his cronies were sent here deliberately to wreck Loki's economy. Once they'd done their job and left, their bosses on Golgotha would have moved in and bought up everything at rock-bottom prices, including the colonists.
You and your people plotted to leech this colony dry and then move on, never once thinking of all the colonists whose lives would be ruined. I call that treason.
Parliament is never going to approve this.
Then to hell with Parliament.
Hang them all. They're all politicians. All dirty.
Hang them all.
Graphic Audio presents Simon R. Green's Deathstalker Honor. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Nanette Savard, David Coyne, Anne Flosnick, Colleen Delaney, Nick Sampson, Ken Jackson, and Karen Carbone. Graphic Audio sound design by Dan Smith. And directed by Richard Rowan. Episode 6, The Red Brain. It was raining, hard. The rain had started falling on the world known as Lacrimae Christi some several million years earlier, and showed no signs of letting up. Fueled by the massive ocean that covered three-quarters of the planet, the rain fell from eternally cloudy skies onto the endlessly thirsty jungle below that covered the world's only continent from shore to shore. Lacrimae Christi had never known summer or winter, sunshine or snow, and never once had its gray skies been blessed with a rainbow. The rain fell on the planet's unfortunate colonists, too, in their scattered dwellings. Though colonists isn't perhaps the correct word to describe them. They didn't come to the world of eternal rains through choice. They were rounded up by gloved and helmeted men and herded into the holds of cargo ships, persuaded on their way by long electric prods and drawn guns. They traveled in hardship and despair, and were finally dumped on their new home to make what kind of life they could for themselves. No one objected. No one cared. They were the lowest of the low, despised by the Old Order and the New Order alike. Supply ships left the bare necessities now and again, but that was the extent of the Empire's compassion. No one gave a damn whether the unwilling colonists lived or died, as long as they stayed where they were put. They were banned from starflight, banned from civilization, from a humanity that had turned its backs on them. But against all the odds, the colonists survived and prospered in their fashion. if only to spite those who had abandoned them there. Lacrimae Christi was a leper colony. The Sunstrider 2 dropped out of hyperspace and fell into high orbit over the world of Eternal Tears. Owen Deathstalker sat uncomfortably before the main view screen on his yacht's bridge and studied the silent planet's image, hidden and enigmatic beneath its perpetual swirling shroud of clouds. He didn't know much about Lacrimae Christi. Not many did. It wasn't something respectable people talked about, as though just using the dreaded word might somehow attract the disease's attention. A secret world, to hide a secret shame. For centuries, the Empire had boasted that its scientists had defeated disease, and that with the regeneration machines and the cloning tanks, nothing should stop a man of decent means from living a long and healthy life. It was a different matter for the poor, of course, but for them, that was true of everything. And then, some 70 years before, leprosy returned, an almost forgotten horror from humanity's distant past, and the scientists could do nothing. It spread rapidly from world to world, infecting rich and poor alike with its rotten touch, and soon it was everywhere. No one knew what caused or spread it, and there was no hope or comfort available for its victims. Only isolation, the shunning of friends and neighbors. Rather than have the victims hanging around, as a reminder of science's failure and civilization's lack of compassion, it was decided that once diagnosed, all lepers would be given a one-way ticket to the Rim, and a world no one wanted, where they could be with their own kind, and humanity could comfortably forget them. Only some people couldn't, wouldn't forget. Hazel Dark slouched onto the bridge and dropped heavily into the chair next to Owens. She scowled at the image on the view screen.
You know, we get sent to all the best places. I can't believe you agreed to this mission, Owen. I swear that if I leave here with less than my usual number of fingers, I am personally going to dropkick you out of the nearest airlock.
There's really nothing to worry about. All the latest medical information says you can't catch leprosy by casual contact. I checked.
They don't know that. They don't know anything for sure. They still haven't even worked out where the hell it came from.
What exactly is this leprosy?
Midnight Blue spoke from behind them.
We don't have anything like it where I come from.
Same here.
Bonnie Bedlam pushed past Midnight to claim the only remaining chair on the bridge.
Are there really people down there with bits falling off of them?
Only in the worst cases. It's a neurological disease. Victims lose all sense of feeling. Even small wounds refuse to heal and become infected. Flesh rots and decays. It's a slow and very nasty way to die. There are some drugs that help, but not much.
Is it too late to turn this ship around?
I thought you believed in disfigurement as a fashion statement.
There are limits, though I never thought I'd hear myself say that.
She leaned in closer to Owen, and he did his best not to flinch away. Bonnie disturbed him.
You know, Owen, this disease sounds too bad to be true. More like it was manufactured. Could it be some bioweapon that got loose from a lab?
You're not the first person to suggest that. Truth is, no one knows. It doesn't appear to be related to any other current disease. It could well have been some damn fool's idea of a last-ditch terror weapon. And it would explain how it just appeared out of nowhere.
Of course, that could be nothing more than general paranoia. There was a lot of that about during Lionstone's reign.
Yeah, mostly because they really were out to get you.
True. Thank God things have changed since then.